Amen. So we are continuing on with our study in Proverbs, a wise man's wisdom about finances. We've talked about how Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived before his time and then forward. And the Lord gave him that wisdom. He asked it of the Lord. And so like we were talking about earlier with Linda's testimony, when you need wisdom, it says in 1 Peter, all you have to do is ask, and he'll give generously to you. Amen? And so we've been asking the Lord for wisdom from a wise man. And today we're looking at Proverbs 10:4, and it says this, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. And you'll notice with Solomon, there's going to be a lot of times where he's going to refer to the poor man and the rich man, the lazy man or the fool, and those who are diligent workers. This is just the first one, but it's going to continue. So in this verse, it says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. When I think of this, I think about, have you ever, or do you remember the grasshopper and the ant story? It was, Aesop's Fables, did I pronounce that right? Where the grasshopper comes along and it's late in fall and the ants are just putting the finishing touches on bringing all of their stuff in. They're diligent workers. And it says that the grasshopper comes up and he says, can you spare some food? And the ants say, well, didn't you plan for this? Didn't you prepare? Didn't you go out and bring in a harvest? And he said, well, no, I was busy making music. There was dancing and there was, you know, fun things to be done. And the ant said, well, I hope you enjoyed your dancing. Because he didn't prepare. He didn't plan ahead. He had a slack hand. When you look up the definition, I thought it was interesting that in the Hebrew, it says that there are two different terms for the hands that are used in this verse. It says he who has a slack hand and then the hand of the diligent. The first hand is referring to the sole of the hand, and that's right here. And what do you normally use the sole of this hand of your hand for? You're leaning on something, right? Are you moving most of the time when you're leaning on something? It's kind of that restful position. You're hanging out. You're just enjoying life. You're just sitting there, right? And there's nothing wrong with taking breaks. That's not what this is about today. Taking vacations, those are all good things. But this is about understanding which the different hands that are involved here. And this first hand is the hand, it's just stationary, not doing anything. Kind of get that picture of the grasshopper leaning back, playing his fiddle, right? And the second hand represents power and an open hand with the indication of power, means, and direction. That means these hands are ready. They're open, they're ready to go out and do what needs to be done. Amen? And then you see two different words used to describe those hands. You have slack and diligent. Slack, I thought, was really interesting because I had expected it to be like, you know, lazy and, you know, slothful is one of the words, but I expected more along those lines. But when you look it up, the very first word that represents it is treachery. I was like, whoa, this isn't just a slothful person. This isn't just a person that's, you know, taking it easy when everybody else is working. This is a person that is treacherous, deceitful, false. So this isn't just the normal lazy person. This is a person who is lazy with an intent. They're being deceitful. They may appear like that they're doing good, but they're really not. So that's the first hand. The second hand is the diligent. It's sharp, strict decision, a trench, as in something that's dug out, gold, as in mind, determination, eager. So this gives you the picture of someone who is a hard worker, right? They're diligent. They're going after what the Lord is showing them to do. And there's two different outcomes. We see poor and rich. And the poor, this is a really interesting definition as well. It says, in want, lack, to be destitute and in need. Now listen to this. Making himself a poor man. So he didn't get here because of something the Lord did, right? How often have you heard that people say, you know, this is all the Lord's fault? No. This isn't what this is about in this particular verse. This is poor because you made yourself poor. Why? Leaning on the sole of your hand, not working, not doing anything. The second one is rich, and it means to be or to become rich or wealthy, to accumulate, to grow. So again, you see this illustration of the ants. What are the ants always doing? They're always working. They're always gathering. They're always looking for food, always bringing stuff in to store up, right? And that's the picture we get here for the rich, the hand that is open, that's looking for stuff to do, that's ready for the opportunity. Then they're doing it diligently. They're not just working half-heartedly. They are putting their whole self into it. And then we see that they are becoming or accumulating or growing in their wealth. Amen? And this is what it comes down to. It comes down to a matter of choice. Say choice. We all have a choice to make. I love the verse in Colossians 3:23. From the time I was a little kid, I remember my parents telling us this verse. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working unto the Lord, not men. That was something that was instilled in my brother and I and my sisters at an early age, that when you work and you do something, you are not doing it for your boss. You are not doing it for the leadership above you. That's not who you're working for. When you go to work every day, you are going and you are working for the Lord. That puts a whole new light on how you work. Amen? Being negligent and not giving your whole heart and half-heartedness, that is not a question anymore when you're working for the Lord, because your boss may not be in the room where you are, but guess what? The Lord sees all. And as a young kid, that was driven into my mind that when I work diligently unto the Lord. And you know what? There's always been more than enough. Always. Because when you set your heart to do what the Lord is asking you to do, He blesses us. Amen? So it's a choice. Do you want to be poor or rich? Look at your hands. You have a choice to do today. Are you going to lean on the soles of your hands? Are you going to keep these hands open, ready to do anything that the Lord brings your way? Amen? And you may say, well, how do I know if it's from the Lord? What did we learn last week? The key is wisdom. You ask the Lord for wisdom, because there'll be opportunities that will come along, and you may be like, oh, is that the right one? He says, all you have to do is ask, and He'll show you. His word also says, whether you turn to the right or the left, He'll be that voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Amen? So wisdom from a wise man this morning says, it's a matter of choice. You can be the hand that's like the grasshopper that is slack and becomes poor, or you can be the hand like the diligent, like the ants, and it maketh rich. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to maketh rich. So that means working at it with all our heart as working toward the Lord. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just praise you and we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the words of Solomon that were written down that are just as powerful then as they are today. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for just touching each one of us, Father, for helping us to work at it with all of our heart as working unto you, that we will be like the second hand that was mentioned here, the hand of the diligent, Father. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, that we know, Father, the blessing of the Lord makes you rich and there's no sorrow added to it. No sorrow. And so we just praise you and we thank you, Father. If people are in a place of working that is not where they're supposed to be working, redirect them, Lord. Show them where they need to be. If they're needing to be maybe more faithful where they're at, then help us just to make that change. It's not a heavy that we're supposed to carry for the next 9 years. No, Lord, when you forgive, and it's over and done. Help us all to be diligent in our working and to work unto you. I pray, Father, for every seed that is sown today, that you would bless the giver, multiply it, prosper them, Lord. We just thank you, Father, for more than enough to give to every good work. And we praise you and we thank you for all that you're doing in this church. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Praise God. Well, let's pray over this message today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. We receive your word, Lord God, with open hearts, and we give you the praise for it now in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen and amen. Well, we're continuing on our series called the help of the Holy Spirit. And you know, as we're, I'm putting on my little satchel bag here for you'll understand. If you were here last week, you know exactly where I'm going with this. But how many know, when we're going through a time like this, like our nation is going through, the world also, of course, we need help. Somebody to say, we need help. And praise God for people in, you know, the Department of Health, for example, and doctors and scientists and business people and so forth that are doing amazing things, getting the mind of God, whether they realize it or not. People are praying, people are believing. But one thing that the Lord's been reminding me of during this season is don't forget the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, the Holy Spirit is with us. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the X factor in whatever it is you're facing in your life. Because I don't know about you, but just because there was a COVID devil trying to manifest and shut things down, that didn't mean that everything else in my life that was already giving me trouble stopped. I remember when we traveled down in 2005 to do some Hurricane Katrina relief. And man, that was devastating. I mean, it was 6 months later and we were still driving through National Guard checkpoints and all these kind of things. And the city was just dark. Amen. And we got to minister to certain people that had gone through loss and come to find out, just before Hurricane Katrina, this particular couple were dealing with divorce recovery. They were dealing with cancer reports. They were dealing with children with issues. And then Hurricane Katrina. I mean, how do you deal with that stuff? Amen? Somebody say, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. This world will kill you without the power of God on the inside of you. This world today is killing people. The devil is out there, not God. You know, insurance policies will call things like this act of God. No, maybe a little g. With the horns, that guy, right? The one, he's the one. Somebody say, he's the one who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. All the social injustice and so forth, right? This is not God. This is not right. This is not okay. Amen? These are things the enemy tries to put in to steal. Somebody say, steal, kill, destroy. That's his plan. That's the devil. That's his to-do list on his refrigerator this morning, on his little Apple Watch, whatever he's got on, right? It beeps, oh, time to steal, time to kill, time to destroy. Amen? But who do we have? If you're a born-again believer, who's living on the inside of you? Jesus. And who did Jesus come to baptize you with? The Holy Spirit, right? So when we need help, help is not far away if you're born again, amen? That's why you can anoint your house. You can have faith in your life that no matter what's coming on this world, it's not going to touch or affect me because I'm born again. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, just being in this cool new, and this, our church is a great example of this. I mean, when this happened, it hit the church hard in general, right? No longer can have services. You know, financially, it hit the church globally very hard. Our church, we're coming out ahead, right? Before this all happened, we were meeting in a transition period. We were meeting in a hotel banquet room, and we came out on the other side in this place. I mean, somebody say glory to God. Why is that? Well, because you give, because you have faith, because we trust God, because we're expecting. Amen? A lot of Christians just aren't really expecting anything. They're expecting to go down with the Titanic. Somebody say, I've been redeemed from the Titanic. If you didn't know, you're in redeemed church. That means you're in a rescue operation. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. So coming out on the other side of this, we're coming out ahead. We got all kinds of reports from people in the church. And you had financial breakthroughs during this, financial supernatural things happening. Your health has been preserved. All these kind of things. Amen? So why is that? Because you have help from the Holy Spirit. And I love this picture of this man getting ready to embark on an adventure. Don't you know serving God is the greatest adventure ever? Amen. And he knows the way. He can navigate through the course of this world and get you onto glory and onto your next great thing that he's got for you. How does that happen? Somebody say, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But this meeting in this cool meeting space, this is called the Groove Nation. Somebody do a little groove. I know there's kids. Now, kids, thank you, kids, for being patient with us. We're having fun. But you have classes coming, too, when we can get back to that. They have some cool classrooms in this room, in this building, with lights and all. I mean, it's awesome. You're going to have a blast. But this is called the Groove Nation Performing Arts Center. And so, you know, I have some performing arts in my background. I directed plays and musicals and all this kind of thing. And the Lord's kind of tapping into that side of me again, right? And we've been watching old shows. How many know there's a lot of the new shows aren't really worth my time to watch. So we started tapping into Google Play. And we looked up the A-Team, and we watched the A-Team, and we watched Chips, and we discovered Duck Dynasty and all these kind of things, amen? Well, just recently, we started watching a series that I'd never seen before called MacGyver. And as I got to know, if you've anybody familiar with MacGyver, right? And as I began to watch that series, I started realizing, you know what? MacGyver is kind of like the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is kind of like having MacGyver down on the inside of you. MacGyver can't get, he can't get stuck in anything. And the Holy Ghost is kind of like having MacGyver down on the inside of you. Amen? And this is the verse I want to focus on, John 14:26. Everybody say this out loud. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things. Somebody say all things. Right? That I said to you. Now it's important to remember what Jesus said to you. Not what the devil said to you. Not what the medical report said to you. Not what CNN said. Right? What Jesus said. Amen. So if he said, by my stripes, you are healed, the Holy Ghost will remind you of that. He won't remind you, yeah, but the medical report says, amen. He'll remind you of what he said. Praise the Lord. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Amen. Amen. You know, in this life, times like these, there are things that are just way beyond me. Amen. Way. I'm not about a little bit beyond me. I'm talking way. In the natural, I have no clue. But it's cool. You know, MacGyver, he carries a Swiss Army knife all the time. And he can get out of almost any jam with just him and his mind and a Swiss Army knife. And the Holy Ghost is kind of like a Swiss Army knife. He can get out of anything. Nothing. Somebody say nothing. Nothing is beyond him. Nothing you're facing is beyond the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. So he's kind of like having a Swiss Army. I like that Toby Mac song because it drives that point home of, yeah, you know what? This COVID thing is beyond me. I don't know. I don't have a clue of what to do. You know, they're still telling us things we can do. But you know what? The Holy Ghost understands also the spiritual nature behind things. And that's where the church needs to pick it up. Realizing, you know what, we need to be binding the devil and confessing God's word, no matter how things look, no matter how many people say it's getting worse, there's a relapse, there's not going to be football. I rebuke there's not going to be football. Somebody say there's going to be football, man. And there's going to be people in the stands. They're not going to have to pipe in fan noise. Amen? There's going to be, you know, last week the Lord was having us praying. The Holy Spirit said, pray for a vaccine. And just this past week, our president got in there and said, we're really close to vaccines, multiple. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, for the church, we know the power of faith and God's word to heal and keep us well. But to the world, there also needs to be this thing called a medical breakthrough, a vaccine that will shut it down, that will take its legs out, that will get things, quote, back to normal. Amen? So this is what we're praying. But the Holy Ghost is like a Swiss Army knife. He's like the somebody say he's like the MacGyver inside. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, as we're serving God and we're going through battles of life, the spirit of fear tries to come on us. Amen? And it's like when you get saved, you get filled with the Holy Ghost. But, you know, when you get filled with the Spirit, you're obeying God. You're using your faith. I come in here and preach a sermon, right? You're exercising patience with people at the grocery store. You're exercising patience with people at work. Patience with people at home. Exercising patience with politicians. Refusing to be offended at things or get into fear. And as you do that, you're getting tapped. See, right? And so it's important that we get refilled with the Holy Ghost, that we stay in love with Jesus, that we're checking in with Jesus throughout the day, every day, not waiting for Sunday, not waiting for Easter or Christmas, not waiting till everything's better. You know, when everything's better, I'll get back to church. Yikes. When everything's better, I'll start praising God again. When everything's better, I'll start tithing again. Somebody say, no. Somebody say, come to Jesus now. Shut down the fear and come to Jesus now. And he refills us, doesn't he? He refills us with his Spirit. I love Brother Jesse Duplantis shared that at his conference last year that we attended. And he said, you know what? By the time I get back in here tomorrow, I'm going to be refilled because I've been feeding you. Water's been pouring out of me, and I'm going to have to go home. He's like, that's why a lot of pastors and ministers fail, because they don't replenish themselves. And then they're weak, and they go out, and bad stuff happens in their life because they didn't refill. All right? They're dependent on their pastor degree or whatever. Amen? Somebody say, Lord, refill me. Refill me. And you do that by going to his word, by turning on the praises, turning off the noise. Amen. Somebody say, stay plugged into Jesus. And the word fear, when it says God has not given us the spirit of fear, it means faithless. God has not given you a spirit of faithlessness. Amen. So we're not intimidated by bad reports. A bad report simply means battle time. Battle time. Time. What's God's report say? I know what it looks like in the natural, but what's the supernatural say? Because the supernatural supersedes the natural. Somebody say amen. So we stick with God's word. And I want to focus right now for the next few moments as we wrap it up for the day on the word power. Somebody say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power. And in times like this, we feel powerless. I mean, this whole thing of having to wear masks, somebody say, don't get used to that. This isn't normal. This isn't the new normal. I'm not getting used to living this way. No. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm an American. Amen. No. Now, that doesn't mean I get angry at people and that can, no. I don't go to Walmart and pout because I had to wear my mask.
No.
You smile, you say thank you. I walked into two stores this past week with, now they have security people out front. Making sure I have, one had a gun. Making sure I have my mask on. Just smile and say, thanks. Thanks. They're probably not too happy to be doing this either. Somebody say glory to God. But he has given us a spirit of power. Somebody say the Holy Ghost is the spirit of power on the inside of you. And power means miraculous. Don't you know we need a miracle? At the onset of this, these words, I know a lot of people have issues with our president. He's a human being. But you know what? He stands for a lot of things in our voting lane as Christians. Hallelujah. And he said, this thing's going to be gone. It's going to be like a miracle. Amen. Somebody say, COVID, go. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. You're not touching me or my family. You're not touching my community, my county, my church, my workplace, our schools. Go. I break your power in the name of Jesus. You're walking around the store and it's be praying in tongues in your mask, praying in the spirit, praising God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God, right? Why? Because the spirit of power is on the inside of you. That power's purpose is to change things. To say, God's kingdom come, God's will be done. Now see, if we're wondering what God's will is, that's where the issue is, church. A lot of believers think this is God's will. God is punishing us. God is angry. No. The devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus came that you may have life and life more abundantly. Amen? Praise God. I don't remember anywhere in the Bible, that's a lot of people's problems, they're not reading their Bibles, where somebody came to Jesus to get healed, to get delivered of a demon or something, and he would say, oh, but that's God's will for you. No. Jesus versus devil, Jesus wins. Somebody say every time. But we need to know what's on the devil's list and what's on God's list. And we are enforcers on this planet of God's will, first in our own lives, in our churches, and amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So miraculous power means force. Somebody say force. To be able, can do, talk to this thing, whatever. This is just an example. There's many other things. You know what, cancer? You're no match for Jesus. You know what, depression, poverty? You're no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're no match for the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. Just start talking to those things. Amen? Speaking God's word. It means abundance. We're not going through times of financial ruin. Why? Because you're a believer. You have a covenant of prosperity with God. You're a tither. You're a giver. So that means you are above this world's economy. You live in a heavenly economy. People will look at you and go, why aren't you rattled right now? Well, because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of me. And he can also be on the inside of you if you'll just welcome him. But see, a lot of people don't want to turn from their issues. A lot of people love other things more than they love Jesus. They want to have the right to do this and the right to do that, even though it's not right to do that. Amen? And what do? We love people. We preach God's word. We live for Jesus and let the Holy Ghost operate in and through us. It means strength, the word power. It means violence. It means ability. Somebody say, Lord, release your ability through me. Somebody say, God is able to shut this thing down. In fact, Jesus already has. 2,000 years ago, he shut it down. Amen. Now, I want to I look at one more verse here. I want Luke to come up because I got something to show you as we close this thing up today. I've asked my son Luke to come up here. And Luke, if you're up here with me, you can remove your mask for a minute. Amen. So somebody say, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of power. And Luke 24:49 says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Somebody say, endued with power. We got you guys your own satchel today. And it is furnished with lots of cool things you're going to enjoy. But somebody just say, Lord, furnish me. Furnish me with your power. Amen. And the glorious thing is when the Lord furnishes what you need, he begins to furnish for other people through you. Now, that's awesome. When God begins to bless other people through your life and you're starting to act like him, somebody say, look out. Luke, thank you. Can you give Luke a little appreciation hand clap there? You can keep this if you want to. Right on. Amen. You can switch out of all that stuff. But let's pray. Amen. Let's pray while they're distributing your, while they're furnishing you. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say, I have the help of the Holy Spirit. And he's living on the inside of me. I have the power of God living on the inside of me. Somebody say this out loud. Lord, I thank you for clothing me, for furnishing in me, equipping me, filling me, wrapping me in your power today. Somebody say, I receive the power of the Holy Spirit operating in and through me in every area of my life. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.